James 4 and 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. 1 Peter, 1 Peter 3 and 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. Continuing with the subject, the right approach, today we're going to concentrate and begin to concentrate on the topic of prayer. Our theme for this year is committed to be established. And in order for us, church, to reach that status of being established, we must first settle the issue of commitment. Somebody say commitment. Our theme is based upon God's word as recorded Proverbs 16 and 3, where it tells us, commit our works to the Lord, and he will establish our plan. The depth of this word is so deep that I believe it will take us all year to settle and gain insight to what it is that we as the people of God and a body of believers should commit ourselves to so that we will move to the position of being established. Because being established in our lives and as a church is our goal. Because on last week, we talked about how being established is not a one-size-fit-all deal, in that you can be established in one area of life and not be established in other areas of life. You might have the marriage, but you don't have the money. Might have the money and don't have the marriage. Some of y'all want the money. You might have the education, but you don't have a job. It is interesting how our lives can be a tale of two cities, up and down at the same time. And if we strive to be totally established, then it will end the roller coaster ride, the inconsistent ride of life where you find yourself hidden and missing. Because when you're totally established, you will have your life whole and complete. It's to become consistent in every area of life requires that we master this discipline, this command of God to be committed. Because when you become established again, you will be equipped and you will be effective to operate in life at an excellent level. This requires, according to God's word, for us to be able to hold our commitment. And to be committed means you have made the choice to hold your course with a steadfast and unwavering obligation to accomplish what you've set out to achieve. It is the place where you have made up your mind and you are determined to go all the way. Somebody say all the way. This is vitally important because we can't achieve, receive, or accomplish anything unless we go all the way. And too often, as God's people, we stop too soon, quit too early, give up so easily, when the prize is at the finish. Victory is at the end. We must be committed to go all the way. Mark 13 and 13 declares, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You see, the Bible teaches us that the end of a thing is where the beginning is. And therefore, in order to get to the blessed place of beginnings, we gotta go to the end. The end is where the fruit of God's favor flows. The end is where we will become the recipients of God's rich blessings. We gotta go all the way so that we might move away from experiencing partial blessings and not the complete favor of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and 10 tells us that when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. The reality is that so many times we've just settled for the partial, just a portion of what God wants to do in our lives. We have yet to truly experience the complete, because once you get a taste or experience the complete, you don't ever want to go back to the partial. Once you get a taste of steak, you don't want to go back to Spam no more. You don't want the partial when you can have the complete. Have you ever purchased something that didn't have the part, all the parts in it? You couldn't complete the product because something was missing. That's how our lives look when we don't press our way to the end. We settle for the partial and never experience the joy of having the complete. You see, complete means to accomplish, but it also means to be full. And when you have the complete of a thing, you have the fullness of that thing. You have the maximum capacity of that thing where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. And this is what God desires for our lives, to operate at maximum levels if we're willing to just hold our course to the end. If we would commit to being committed, God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. God will bless us to the degree that we will be willing to commit to it, because the scripture tells us the measure you give will be the measure you receive. The level of your commitment will determine the level of your return. Complete commitment will equate to complete blessings. Partial commitments equates to partial blessings. But you must get to the place where you're tired of living off of the partial, off of a portion, off of the pieces and not the whole. I wonder if there's anybody in here who wants the whole, who wants the complete capacity God's outpouring in your life, who's willing to go to the end all the way, where you won't stop, you won't surrender, you won't give up, you just press your way because you want all God has for you. Is there anybody in here want complete power, complete wisdom, complete favor, complete peace, complete joy? You want complete blessings. So the church, this is the year of commitment. You'll never be established in anything without first being committed. Now, in order to arrive at the state in life, being committed, we must come to God. And so we look at James 4 and 8 that tells us, if you draw near to God, you will discover that God is already drawn near to you. This, my brothers and sisters, is the right approach. You see, the right approach is utilizing the wisdom of God, which is the word of God, to appropriately apply it in your lives. Last week, we looked at three areas where we've got to apply God's wisdom in our lives. The first one has to do with prayer. The second one has to do with possessing the spirit of humility. And the third one has to do with our expectation or our faith. And I believe if we make the commitment in these three areas, we will move away from experiencing the partial and we will step into the complete. So today I want to begin looking at the first one, prayer. Church, if you don't have a prayer life, you're really cheating and robbing yourself of God's best for your life. A believer who does not have a consistent prayer life is just like driving your car without car insurance. I know folk drive cars without car insurance, and I know there are believers who live their lives without praying. But in both cases, you're operating uncovered. In both cases, you're living an unprotected life. Church prayer is a form of communication between us and God. We talk to God, and God talks to us. God gives us instructions, what moves to make, what steps to take. When we respond in obedience to God's instructions or God's word, our steps are being ordered for living at a high level. For the Bible declares that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When we pray, we stay in tune. We stay in touch with what God's will is for our lives. We open ourselves up for an outpouring of God. We come to the potter and say, have thine own way. But when we move away from that, we rob ourselves. You see, the Bible tells us in Matthew 21, 22, it says, whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will, not might, receive. When you pray with faith, pray believing, God will respond with an outpouring for your life. When you what you receive, it's going to be based upon the request that you have the faith to believe that God can provide. And if you ask for a thing in faith, God will respond with an outpouring what it is you need in order to get you to where you need to be. Yes, now, our conception of prayer is oftentimes based upon begging and pleading, a laundry list of what I want. But how many of you know when you pray in faith? Told the Bible study class, when you pray, you don't need to pray your problems. God already knows that. But God is looking for faith in your heart. So in prayer, instead of praying your problems, you need to pray the promise. Pray what God's word has said about you. You got to pray and just thank God that he is your shepherd. You shall not want. You need to pray and just thank God that he will supply all your needs according to you, his riches in glory. You got to pray. I thank you, Father, that your blessings make me rich. I thank you, God, that by your stripes I'm healed. I thank you I got peace that surpasses all understanding. God, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I lay down, and I'm blessed when I get up. Not, Lord, if you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. They coming for me. They going to get me. Help. No, stand firm. Stand firm. And in his own time. How many of you know God steps in right on time? You see, God does not respond to desperation, but God responds to faith. Now, you can be in a situation that looks desperate to you, but how many of you know there's no desperation or emergencies in heaven? God can turn it around on a dime. You just got to stand in faith, knowing that God can and God will pour out what you need when you need it. Amen. But prayer is more than just a 911 call to God. This is the means by which we have communion and fellowship with God. We receive the nourishment for our soul. We strengthen our relationship with God because we grow in our knowledge of God through our prayer life. And this should be on a daily basis. Every day, we need to check in, talk to God. Sometimes more than one time a day, you need to have a talk with the Lord and stand still to hear what God has to say to you. You can't develop no relationship if you're not in touch, in communication. I was taking my daughter to school the other day, and a song came on the radio, and it caught my attention, and I said, who sang that, Carmen? And she said, Drake. I said, Drake sings that? And the song said, you used to call me on my cell phone. In essence, Drake would say, you used to be in touch with me, but I don't hear my young people know about it. You used to call me on my cell phone. Yeah, but when we stay away from praying, then when we're in need, here we go. Lord, I need you. God said, you used to pray for me, with me every day. What happened?
You got to stay in touch.
You got to stay connected. Because every day we need to draw near to God. Because when we draw near to him, guess what? He's already near to us. And so 1 Peter 3:12 tells us, for the eyes of the Lord on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. We must make the commitment to pray, because we serve a God who has ears for our prayers. And the Bible lets us know that you'll never have the complete of what God desires for your life if you don't commit to praying every day. James 5:16 tells us that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And if you want to avail, if you want power and effectiveness for your life, you gotta commit to praying every day. For the Bible tells us we've gotta always pray, because we always need God. Every day we need God's presence, and we need God's outpouring over our lives. And how many of you know that prayer will make the difference every time? I'm reminded of a story of how a mountain climber had as his life's desire to scale the mountain Matterhorn. And when he had saved enough money, he made the trip to this great mountain. And then he took his money and he hired the best mountain guide to help him reach the top of this mountain. The guide picked and pulled him along the way. As they got close to the top of the mountain, but the winds were fierce and the sight was breathtaking. And as the mountain climber got to the top, they knelt down on the top of the mountain. But then the mountain climber, he wanted to stand up and look and get a bird's eye view of what was around him. But when he stood up, the guide reached up and yanked him back down and told him, you gotta stay on your knees or the wind will blow you off the mountain. Church, that's how it is in life. How many of you know life got some strong winds that'll blow every now and then? That's why, as God's children, we gotta stay on our knees. How many of you know it's hard to stumble when you're on your knees? It's hard to fall down when you're on your knees. When you're on your knees, the devil can't get to you. When you're on your knees, you find safety and you find sweet communion. When you're on your knees, the song says it, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice here calling on my ear. None ever has ever known. He walks with me, and he talks with me, tells me I'm his own. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here knows
that when you're on your knees, you're in a power position. When you're on your knees, you'll be able to change the atmosphere. Because when you talk with God and God communes with you, he gives you revelation for every situation. And what you couldn't do, now you can do it. Because when God work a work in you, nothing and no one can take it away. So, the right approach.